If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We're going to actually begin discussing some of the jurisprudential laws related to prayer and whatever actually hovers around the prayer and the questions and concepts related to that. Based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, let me begin our session with this question regarding ostentation or riya.
Right.
We all know that this is a kind of vice, ethical, let's say a vice or quality that, a few people are somehow engaged with or they are, let's say, suffering from. If a person is afflicted with riya or show-off,
yes,
in their worship, and they are now struggling with themselves to overcome this, vice, is this also counted as a form of riya, in their worship? Doesn't it depend on what kind of worship we are talking about, whether they are recommended or compulsory, for example? How can one keep away from it?
Right. Well, His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei has said that any action done for Allah, including fighting against riya, is not considered riya, because you are fighting, you are trying to uproot riya to get rid of it.
Yes.
And in order to get rid of it, you do certain activities, you take certain actions. So that's not considered to be riya in legal parlance. To get rid of riya, one must think of the greatness of Almighty Allah, the weakness of his own soul, nafs.
Yes.
And also the weakness of other people's soul and nafs and their dependence on Allah.
Yes.
And also his subservience to Allah, the Exalted. All of these things, if one realizes and perceives or comprehends the greatness of Allah in his own smallness or in his own insignificance, he will gradually get rid of riya, get rid of ostentation, or get rid of hypocrisy.
I see. Well, another question regarding the prayer or worship is that when attending congregational prayers with the Sunni brothers and sisters, you would hear the word Ameen, which is pronounced immediately after the imam finishes reciting the Fatiha. What's the Shia ruling on this?
Well, if it is required, let's say, by taqiyya, if taqiyya requires you to say Ameen, in the said situation, there is no problem in saying Amin. But if there is no such a circumstance in which you are required to do taqiyya, of course, it's not permissible to recite Amin, because it's not part of the prayer. It is a kind of addition to the prayer, which we do not accept. Of course, as Sunni Muslims do say it, but we are not supposed to follow them in their suit and say the same thing.
I see. Yes. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are speaking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to worship and prayer, according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, in our obligatory prayers, is it allowed to say some of the words of the Fatiha or of another chapter, let's say, or a dhikr in a loud voice, in order to warn a child, for example, who's doing something dangerous or doing something harmful, for example, to himself or herself, or to make the occupants of the house aware of the situation so that they may remove the danger? In addition, what is the status of the person's prayers during which he, through some kinds of gestures of the hand or raising the eyebrows, informs another person of something or a danger or answers his question?
Okay. Well, if the raising of the voice, which when reciting a verse or zikr for the purpose of warning others, does not cause an individual to lose the status of being in prayer, then there is no objection to doing so. It is it's permissible, provided that the recitation and the dhikr are done with the intention of recitation and zikr, and not with the intention and recitation to warn other people. Okay, the intention is very important. So if moving the hand or eyebrows or eye is brief and does not ruin the necessary composure and stillness of the prescribed form of the prayer, it would not lead to the invalidation of the prayer. So it's okay if you can do so. If you can raise your voice and alarm someone, you should do so. It's okay.
I see.
Because the composure and the structure of the prayer is not invalidated, it's not destroyed.
Mm-hmm, I see.
But if that's not sufficient, you can recite a word of the hamd and surah and a loud voice, provided that the recitation and zikr are done with the intention of recitation and with the intention of zikr.
I see. Does the passing of hands over the face after the qunut invalidate the prayer? And in case of the prayer being actually rendered as void as a result of this act, is it also considered a sin?
No, it's not considered a sin. You know, it does not invalidate the prayer, because you do nothing. You just pull your hands over your face, or one of your hands over your face. The religious authorities, including His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, have said that it is discouraged, it's makruh to pull your hand over your face after you finish or complete the qunut. This is done by Sunni Muslims, but we are not supposed to do the same thing, okay? It is, according to scholars, abominable, undesirable, and discouraged.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take another break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Don't go anywhere.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are speaking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to worship and prayer according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, in face of the hustle and bustle of city life and the modern life, actually, today, people find it pretty hard. Everybody actually does that, they find it very hard to find peace and quiet and to stay or position your body and your mind in a meditative, state.
Right.
Right? And when we are about to offer our prayers, we find lots of distractors.
Right.
Is it okay, is it permissible to close our eyes in order to avoid distractions?
Well, there is no Shari problem in shutting eyes or closing your eyes during prayer, although it is makruh to do so in other than ruku.
Mm-hmm.
The scholars have said, generally speaking, that it is makruh to close your eyes during prayers. You should use other methods to gain concentration during prayer. And of course, concentration is a big problem, a big challenge. In this, as you rightly said, in this time and age in which people are running here and there in search of, making money or,
making ends meet, yeah.
Yes. So they are actually distracted.
Mm.
So the thing is that the scholars have said that they should detach themselves from their businesses, from their occupation, from the worldly activities and worldly engagements. And for a few minutes, try to focus themselves on their prayers and what they recite, okay? If they continue to do this, if they continue to practice this for a while, then they will get used to it. But it's necessary. It should be a continuous process to focus. If a person continuously focuses on his prayers and what he recites during prayer, he will get used to it and he will not get distracted very easily.
You said it's considered actually makruh,
to shut your
reprehensible,
eyes.
Except in sujood or ruku.
Ruku.
I see. Okay. As the last question, let me ask you this question also to include or squeeze in this episode at the end. Somebody asked us, during my prayers, I sometimes recall spiritual heights and elevations that I experienced on the days of the confrontation with the infidel Ba'athist army. And this helps me, increase my humility in prayers. Does this or doing so invalidate the prayers?
Well, it does not harm the validity of the prayer because it's not considered to be one of the invalidating agents, okay? So if one is recalls what he has experienced in the past during any bloody confrontations, whatever, okay?
Yes.
So this just remembering those things and those spiritual heights will not definitely affect the validity of the prayer.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. That was great. I love this program and I enjoyed it. And I hope that our dear audience would do so as well. And thank you for tuning in and listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, whereby we try to delve into some of the jurisprudential laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And in this episode, we try to, answer some of those questions related to worship and prayer. Thank you for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you. لا إله إلا هو وحيد القدير
لا إله إلا هو